Good morning. All right, who has an appreciation? Anyone? Yes. Amen. Appreciation for brothers and sisters that are here and old friends and reestablishing relationships. Someone else, appreciations. Yes, sir. Amen. Appreciate for a beautiful wife who's willing to come to Fort Wilderness with him. Someone else, any appreciation? Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate God watching over us and sending all the bad storms away.
Yeah, appreciation for the weather. Yes, ma'am. Worship team, this is a dopamine shot for you guys. Appreciation for the worship team and the sound people back there making all this possible. Thanks. Actually, you can just put the, there you go. Just leave that there. There we go. That's all I need for today. Yes? What was that? The trapper's breakfast this morning. Yes. It's your 20th anniversary. Happy anniversary. Yes. Appreciation for a daughter being here today. Any other appreciations? Yes.
I appreciate you sharing your gifts with us.
You appreciate me sharing my gifts? Well, thank you very much. I'll receive that. Yes, sir. Wow, appreciation of the 50 years of marriage with in-laws and his parents. Any other appreciations? Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate how just the Lord just is trustworthy, faithful, and how he shows me that in my heart and my kids' hearts and how capable.
Appreciation for how the Lord is trustworthy and faithful and how he reveals that to her and her family. Yes, ma'am. How appreciation to Fort for how it's a safe place and the kids can run around and not have to worry about, parents don't have to worry about anything harming them. Yes, sir.
Two door staff. I'm going to leave my child with me for 9 months, so I'm appreciative of their.
Oh, appreciate for True North staff. You get to dump your kids off somewhere for 9 months. Did I hear that right? Yes. He said, I appreciate the friendships he's made this week and people he didn't know that he didn't know. Any other appreciations? It's good to share them. Yes, ma'am.
I appreciated the jamboree last night and that we have three generations, myself and my kids and my husband and I, our kids and grandchildren. And all of us were laughing at the same funny skits.
Yeah, appreciation of the jamboree and all of that and the laughter and just the goodness. One more appreciation. Anybody? Yes?
I appreciate how Fort Wilderness treats everybody like family. And so every year, even though you don't see everybody and you only see them once a year, you come back like an entire family.
Yeah, how appreciation treats everyone like family. When you come back, it's like a sense of community. Well, isn't it good to share those things? You know, and it's good to hear appreciation. We all need to hear it. We all need those dopamine shots. Your kids need those things as well. I'm going to just take a few minutes. It's okay. But then again, if it's not, I got control of the pulpit up here, don't I? Some people have asked kind of who I am, so I thought I'd kind of share you what we're about in our ministry. My ministry is about marriage, but it's actually more than that. Live the Life Ministries. I partnered about 4 years ago with a colleague of mine named Richard Albertson. My ministry for years is Marriage for Life. I had these things that I did. He did these things over here, and we merged our ministry together in 2012. He has used my curriculums since 1998 when he started Live the Life in Tallahassee. In 15 years, Live the Life Ministries dropped the divorce rate in Tallahassee 40%. we have proven that you can actually make a difference in the community, and you can track the data through the clerk of court's office. Now, not to belittle the church, but think about how many churches are in that county, and they've never touched the divorce rate. You see, if we're not having an effect that can be felt in the community, we have a problem. Because sadly, the culture is affecting us. We are not affecting it. You get that? And so there are organizations, not ours is not just one of them. First Things First in Chattanooga dropped the divorce rate in Chattanooga 48% in 16 years. We have proven, those of us out there have proven you can make a difference, but we didn't do it ourselves. We did it through collaboration. 82 churches in Tallahassee started an active marriage mentoring ministry where you actually train couples who value marriage, you train them in a marriage mentoring process, and then the pastors, when they have a struggle with a couple, they don't send them to a therapist, they send them to a marriage mentor couple, and the marriage mentor couple who's trained in a process that teaches skills and emotional regulation helps that couple getting back on solid ground. We call it mentoring, you call it coaching, the Bible calls it discipleship. We also work with children without fathers, and we track them, and mentor them from middle school till they graduate high school, if they stay with the program. When they graduate high school, when they turn 18, they actually get a rite of passage into adulthood. It's a pretty neat little event. We take them way out in the woods and drop them off about 3 miles out. Said, find your way back. It's usually done at midnight. And they have to walk this road by themselves. What they don't know is that along the way are men who are part of their life. And as they got a flashlight walking around midnight, walking this 3 mile trek back, these men come out of the woods at periodic junctures and they walk with them. We teach them, it's basically this. If you want to be a man, understand this. You need other men around you to walk life with you. Do not walk it alone. We do not walk it alone. We work with singles, helping singles make good choices in relationships, particularly mate selection. I do a seminar called How to Avoid Falling for a Jerk or a Jerkette. And it's really about what do you need to know about a person before you start investing your heart, those kind of things. We also do marriage preparation, marriage enrichment, and marriage repair, all through basically an educational process. I tell people what I do, though I'm a very good therapist because I have been trained to be a therapist. I really don't do a lot of therapy anymore. I really do more coaching. And I tell people what I do, it may be educational. It's not therapy, but it's highly therapeutic. All right? And so Live the Life is really in four cities now, Sarasota, Bradenton, Jacksonville, and Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale. And so our goal is to have an impact across the state of Florida and eventually across the nation. And so that's kind of who we are and what we're about. We believe in marriage, we believe in family, and we believe in fatherhood. All right? As a ministry, we are anti-divorce. We recognize it will happen. But if you come to us, we're here to help you save something, not destroy it. Okay? People go, can you help me walk through a divorce? No. You might want to go find those people there. They do that. What we do is help you save something, okay? It's not that we don't care about what's going on in your life. It's just that that's not who we are, and that's not what we declare ourselves to be, all right? I always tell people, I am in your corner for your marriage, and I will fight hard for your marriage with you, but I just won't fight harder than you. That would be stupid on my part. I'd lose my mind. That make sense? And so that's who we are as a ministry. I've been doing this in various formats for 30 years. Three cities were chosen in the country by some philanthropists who have a very deep concern about where our country's headed. And these philanthropists, all about $100 million and up, have recognized if you want to save this marriage, you better fix the marriage. If you want to save the country, you better fix the marriage problem. They did 3 years of their own research, hiring very, very high-profile researchers, and these guys came back and said, you want to fix the country? Fix the marriage problem. Fix the marriage problem. And so they have chosen three people, three organizations in three cities, ours being one of them, and it's a three-year heavily funded initiative to see if we can change the attitudes of millennials towards marriage in a positive direction. There's a website out there called thinkmarriage.org. Young people, go watch it. If you're a guy, you're not sure you want to get married, watch the video about the guy who doesn't not sure he wants to get married. If you're a girl who had a dream to get married, but you've given up on that dream because you think marriage stinks, go watch the video of the girl who gave up on marriage and what that's about. We're trying to address their fears about marriage because this is what's really happened. They are afraid of marriage. They see no value in it because all they've seen is failure. So if we're going to reach them, we're going to have to change their attitude towards marriage. And if we can change their attitude toward marriage in 3 years on certain demographics, then it's 15 years of funding to change their behaviors. And if we can change their attitude, we're taking the plan nationwide. We're going to take it. Why? Because if you're going to save marriage, you can't look to my generation to do it. We have to save it in the next generation, because this generation hasn't done it. Does anybody know what group has the highest divorce rate right now in America? People married over 30 years. They are the fastest growing divorce group in America today. 30 plus year marriages are throwing their marriages away like crazy today. Isn't that sad? The baby boomers, who are more focused on who? Themselves. And in the end, they don't want to live that way. They'd rather just throw it away. And that's what we're up against. It's like everything the culture says, Rick, you're stupid. And I go, no, 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 no. When you fight for marriage, you are walking on holy ground. Because marriage is linked to the Trinity. And the enemy is destroying marriage because it is linked to the Trinity. You see? And so when you fight for marriage and family, you are actually doing the Lord's work in a very uniquely specific way. That make sense? So fight for your family and fight for your marriage. All right? So I tell people, marriage is not a bad thing. It's just the people who try and do it. If I'm healthy and mature, marriage is a great thing. If I'm immature, marriage may not be. Got it? But it's not because of marriage. It's because of me. But if you do marriage as God intended, it's a wonderful relationship. You see? That's why I told Luella, divorce is never an option. And if you leave me, I will be going with you. So it's just the way it is. I don't know if y'all heard yesterday, by the way. I was diagnosed yesterday with a very rare eating disorder. It's called amnestic bulimia. Anybody ever heard of it? Amnestic bulimia. Apparently, I binge eat, but I forget to purge. So they're not sure. Not sure what to treat first. All right, enough of the silliness. We have been talking about trust. This whole week is about trust and the pillars that undergird trust in relationships. And that a breakdown in any of those pillars, we can what? Trust. We've also seen, as we've gone through the last six of these, that God himself is all eight pillars. You'll see that today, the next two. That God is all eight pillars. We've seen that through Scripture. That there has to be clarity. You got to be clear, because we trust the clear, but we don't trust the ambiguous, we said, all right? We trust people who are compassionate. But if you are incompassionate, you're uncaring. If you send the message out that I don't care, don't expect people to what? Trust you. Trust is about character as well. Character. And character requires no one else, but it's about you and who you are. And we trust people of great character, and you don't trust people who lack character. All right? Competency. We talked about that. We looked at the idea of knowledge and growing and maturing and always being competent in learning. All right? But you wouldn't trust somebody who doesn't have the competency in an area, would you? Okay? So be competent. Learn. Know what you who you are and what you're about. We also talked yesterday about knowledge is what? Commitment. You don't trust people who are not committed. And if you're living in a relationship or in a relationship, be it married or not, and you're not sure that person's committed to you or to the relationship, you tend to not trust them, right? You tend to not trust them. That's why the Lord says, see, I think man's greatest fear is abandonment. It goes back to the garden. Man's greatest fear is he's going to be left alone. That's why the Lord says, I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. He is committed. He is committed. We may not be, but he is. Why? Because he understands our greatest fear is abandonment, being left alone. And then trust requires relationship connection. I talked about it in terms of the us yesterday. And sounds like that one had a pretty good impact on you guys, right? Heard some people going, one guy goes, well, I should have known about us after the line dancing. I thought that was kind of funny, you know. But the idea is you trust people that you have a connection to. You don't trust people you're not connected to. And hear me, you can be married and not have a connection, right? You can be married and not have a connection. And if you're married and you don't have a connection, you tend to not trust your partner. Because trust comes in deep, intimate relationships. And today, quickly, we're going to look at the last two contribution and consistency. Contribution. I wrote here, people who contribute are people who see results. One person said it best, doing, not saying, builds trust. Or I like to say it this way, talk is cheap, do something. This is not just contribution about tithing, all right? This is about the person who contributes who they are. They give themselves away. They do things for others rather than just money. Many years ago, I was doing a marriage seminar for a bunch of Free Will Baptist churches in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I told them I was predestined to be there. Figure that one out. And I was talking about bonding and connection, those kinds of things, and how it indicates love and how we give our hearts away. And one gentleman got upset with me, and he actually, in the group at large, he said, "Are you suggesting I don't love my children? Is that what you're suggesting?" He said, "Let me tell you something. My children always had a roof over their head, food on the table, clothes on their back. Don't suggest, Dr. Marks, I didn't love my children." And I'm always about my four words, goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. And I said, "Sir, can I tell you what I'm thinking?" He said, "Sure you can." I said, "What I'm about to say, I mean respectfully." I said, "Medicare and Medicaid is doing that for millions of families and children right now across America. So what? Who cares? You give me enough money, I can do what you did. Who cares? Daddies give their heart away. Are you with me? Can you imagine if God just took care of your basic needs but never reached out to your what? Heart. Jesus was literally the Father's heart in human form. If you want to know what the Father's heart is, look at Jesus. John 14, he said, Jesus says, when Philip says, "Show us the Father," and I can almost see Jesus kind of looking at him. I think this thing is clicking here. He says to Philip, actually he says to all of them, he says, "Guys," my interpretation, "how long have I been with you? And how could you ask, show me the Father? Because see, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because everything that the Son does and is, he learned from his dad. So how could you ask, show me the Father? I am my Father's heart." Isn't that neat to know? If you want to know who the Father really is, look at his Son. He's a spitting image of his dad. If you give to your kids, your spouse, your friends, they know that they can trust you. However, sadly though, it's just my personal opinion, most people tend to be takers than givers. And sadly also, a lot of people, when they give, look like they're giving, but they're really taking. You see this sometimes in marriage. You know, I have a couple sitting in front of me, and they're maybe hooked on some, you know, forum, program, whatever, and this guy will go, "Well, you know, I her love language is acts of service, and I do that all the time. I give acts of service all the time." I go, I get that. I don't understand why she's so upset. And I said, "Well, when you give acts of service, what are you hoping for?" "Well, if I give acts of service, then she should give me physical touch." I go, "Okay, so what you're saying is, if she does this, she should do that." "Yes." "So you say you give acts of service, so she should give this?" "Yes." I said, "Sir, that's not giving. That's bartering." He said, "What?" I go, "That's bartering. What you really should say to her is, honey, I'm willing to make the bed and do all the things as long as you give me physical touch. Because that's what you're really saying. That's bartering." See, giving gives, expects nothing in return. When Jesus died on the cross, did he grant forgiveness through the Father on all people? Weren't they? Forgiveness is granted to everybody. Question, does he expect you to get saved? No. He leaves that up to you. But if he expected you to get saved, it would look more like this. "What? You don't love me? Well, I ain't dying for you no more." Because that's not giving. That's what? Bartering. Give expects nothing in return. I give to you. What you do with it is up to you. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, "Each one of us, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver." Romans 12, 6 to 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Contribute. Use your gifts, whatever they are. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Acts 20, 35 says it this way. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard, that's giving, in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to what? Give than receive. Luke 11, 42, Jesus says, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. He's not, God's not impressed that you give a lot of money when you're unloving. That's what the Pharisees are really good at, you see. He's not impressed that you're keeping the law when there's no mercy or grace in you. That makes sense? And so these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So I wrote here, how can you be a giver? So here's some things you can do to be a giver. Here's, if you're taking notes, here's the first one. The first one is give attention. Give attention. Can you notice or acknowledge people more around you? I'm going to do this as a way to kind of reinforce something around attention. I haven't done this in a while, but I decided to do this. Let me give you an example of attention and what it can look like in earning trust and not earning trust. Let's say I have a 5-year-old son, and I came home from work. And my son, let's say it's Trey, I come home and he's all excited because he drew me a picture of a Navy ship because he knew his dad loves the Navy. And so he goes, Daddy, 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 look, look. See, you see this? See this? It's a Navy ship. It's the one you were on. What does the kid need? He needs attention. Do you notice this? Do you notice what I did for you, Daddy? And do you appreciate it? Got it? That's the need right there. Does it matter that I thought of you when I did this? And if you go, let me see this. Oh, man, that's a great boat. This is exactly like the one, lying, that I grew, you know. And you start praising it and praising it. You know what that kid feels? Because you're meeting his need for attention, appreciation. That kid's brain releases dopamine. That kid is bonding to you. That kid says, man, I'm loved. I can do this. And when you do this to children, what do? They draw you another picture, and another picture, and another picture, and another picture. And you're getting sick of it. But these are the kids that excel in life. Because when you meet the needs, they believe that they're worthy. They believe that they matter. They believe that they can do it. And they do. But sadly, this is the way it is typically. Daddy, 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 look, you see this picture? Leave me alone, son. No, 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 I drew this picture. It's you. You were the Navy boat. You were the Navy. Son, I'm watching football. But Daddy, Daddy, I drew you this picture. What is it you don't get, boy? You keep that up. This is what most kids do. I ain't drawing no more. A lot of them quit. Just give up. I ain't doing it no more. Because it ain't worth the what? The pain and the hurt and the rejection. And then you want them to trust you? Oh, no, 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 no. Because you don't know how to give attention. Others do what I did. I didn't quit. I realized that I was stupid. It's all my fault. Why wasn't I smarter? If I had just understood, my dad was a Marine. Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's all my fault. Here's the tank. Oh, that was stupid too? Okay, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're into bulldozers now. That's right, because you run bulldozers. How about a bulldozer, Daddy? Do you like this? You don't like the bulldozer? Okay. What happened to me? I became an overachiever. Trying harder and harder and harder and harder to get attention, to get appreciation, to get noticed. PhD, two masters, BA, LPC, LMFT, REV, CIA, UFO, EIO. All because no one wanted to give what? Attention. You remember I talked about us yesterday? There's an us in every relationship. Guitar City. Jesse, my youngest, is a musician. And as he was growing up, Daddy, can we go to Guitar City? Yes, for us. And he's sitting in Guitar City. Watch, Dad, watch this. He'd get a stool and he'd plug in. I'm like, oh, this is stupid. I'm like, ah, man, it's awesome. And then I finally realized, wait a minute, there's an us between me and him. And so when I started going to Guitar City, because that was his world, got it? That was going into his world, not him coming into mine, which is what my dad made me do. I had to go into my dad's world, which is basically law enforcement and bulldozers. Now, I'm grateful because I learned how to drive a front-end loader and a bulldozer when I was 9 years old. That's a lot of power for a nine-year-old kid. I remember one time I went in the way in the back of the yard. It was a 955 front-end loader. I cranked it up. No one nobody noticed because there's always an engine going, right? And I saw this big old pine tree. 10-year-old boy. I went and I laid that bucket and I kept pushing on that pine tree just waiting for it to fall. And it did. I just never thought through that snap would be really loud and I got my butt kicked. But it was worth it. I've learned that I needed to go into my kids' world and give them attention. Because when I go into their world and give them attention in their world, we connect. And when there's those connections there, they trust that. Do you give attention? Resources, of course, we know about that. Finances. But you can also give in certain terms of time. Can you spend more time making a positive difference in someone's life? Fourth is an opportunity. Can you give someone a chance at something? Is there somebody who has a need that you have the ability to meet the need? And can you give them an opportunity to have that need met? And can you help someone in a practical way? I have a pastor whose church is in my neighborhood. And he was kind of lamenting, well, we're not reaching the neighborhood and the community. And I said, well, Albert, I got a deal for you. We have a lot of elderly in our neighborhood because we live in an old neighborhood, right? Homes built back in the early 60s. And a lot of those original owners are still there. They're just in their 80s and 90s now. And I said, hey, you know what? You got a lot of people with a lot of skills. My neighbor, her fence is falling down. I am not a carpenter. You guys should come and fix her fence. Over there, Mr. So-and-so, he's got some plumbing issues. And it's on the way. What if some of your people went over there and fixed the plumbing for him? You've got a place to reach this neighborhood right away. That's a great idea. That was 4 years ago. They haven't done it yet. There's opportunities to give help and assistance right around you. But we're too focused on ourselves to contribute and give those things. That make sense? Men, is there somebody that you can mentor? Is there somebody that you could mentor and make a difference in their life? I'll tell this story only because it's kind of fun. But I did a marriage retreat here with about 2.5 years ago. Young man sitting right back over in there with his wife. Friday night, we talk about compassion and those kind of things. And he challenged me on Saturday morning. He said, Dr. Marks. I said, yes. He said, last night you were talking about humility, compassion. You made references to the workplace. He said it would never work. I said, what would never work? Humility in the workplace. It would never work. I said, why is that? He said, I'm a director of one of the largest healthcare systems in the country. He said, I have a lot of employees under me. He says, I get things done that people with master's degrees don't get done. He goes, and I'm paid very well. It would never work. So I asked him his name. I'll call him George. And I said, George, every company needs people like you. He actually kind of grinned. And I said, because you're the people that get things done. And I said, but there is one other thing about people like you. He said, what's that? And I'm sorry, I did say that. I go, you suck at relationships. And I turned around and walked out. He said, where are you going? I said, get my Java chip. I got to get back after break. He stood with that. Later that afternoon, they're sitting knee-to-knee learning one of the skills. And I'm walking around making sure we can stick to skills. And he goes, I'm telling you it won't work. I'm like, all right. So I grab a chair, sit down. I go, tell me why it won't work. But when he did, I reached down and grabbed his pant leg and put his foot up on my knee. And he went to jerk his foot back. I said, you must leave your foot alone. Just tell me why it won't work. So he's thinking I'm weird, which I'm sure it looked weird. And so I start massaging his foot. I did. And I just tell me why it won't. Enjoy the massage. And he tells me why it won't work, and I kind of paraphrase it back. And at the end of that, I said, I want to ask you a question. In your mind, who is the most powerful person that walked the face of the earth? He goes, you mean like military leader? He said, it doesn't matter to me. Who? He said, Jesus. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, I would agree with you. Now, let's see. Jesus had 12 employees, did he not? Well, yeah. Didn't he wash their feet? And he just stared at me, and I put his foot down. And I said, I'm just wondering what difference would it make if you decided to wash the feet of your employees. Long story short, the next morning, he and two other guys were talking, overheard my name. I said, I heard y'all talking about me. And one of them said, go ahead, George, ask him. I said, what do you want to ask? He goes, well, you're busy. I decide when I'm busy. What do you want? And he said, I've never met a man that's inspired me before. Would you mentor me? And for 2.5 years, I poured my life into that man. He lives up here. I live down there. Whenever I come into Milwaukee to go to Paul and Jerry's house or wherever, I go hang out with him. Rock Bottom Brewery, we have dinner there. Sit and talk. Talk to him during the week on the phone. I say, before you yell at your wife, call me first. Then you can go yell at her if you still want to. He's a different man today because I decided to give what I've given and poured it into that man. Who could you do the same for? You have things to contribute other than just money. What can you do? What can you do? Mark LeBlanc, who is a small business expert, says it this way. See, people think, well, but I can't do it perfect. I'm not really great at it, you know? I'm not perfect at it. And he says this. He says, done is better than perfect. And there's the truth in that. Because we're afraid we're not going to get something done correctly, then we don't what? We don't do it. And he goes, hey, done is better than perfect. Do something. Or a Chinese, you know, Chinese proverb. I like them. Let me find good ones. Here's what he said. Okay, let's say I might go, oh, all right, Rick, but that was great. But, you know, I'm in my 40s now. This is a Chinese proverb. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time? Is right now. I'll say that again. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And remember this. It's the law of sowing and reaping, the law of attraction, whatever you want to call it. It's all biblical. The more you give, the more you will receive. It may not be monetary, but you will receive in far greater than you what? Give. May it be that we contribute. Because you trust people who give, you don't trust people who take. And the last of these is consistency, which David Horsager would tell you is probably the most important of all of them, because consistency is over time, and you can be inconsistent in the other ones, right? And so I wrote here, this is probably the most important of the 8 pillars. Commitment is sometimes, and sometimes it is not. In other words, character is until character is not. Commitment is until commitment is not. A consistent giver is until they quit what? Giving. And it is consistency that builds trust. Or Hebrews 13:8 puts it this way. Jesus Christ is the same. The same. Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Consistency. This is why you know that he is worthy of being trusted. He's consistent. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says it this way. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Stay consistent. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if we do not give up. Stay consistent. Be hang in there. 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Inconsistence. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Matthew 5:37, let what you say be simply yes or no. That's about boundaries, by the way. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let your yes be yes, and you what? No be no. Be consistent. Titus 2:7, 8 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing but evil to say about you. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Consistency, by the way, can be for good or bad. In other words, you can be consistently on time or consistently what? Late. If you're consistently on time, then I trust that you're going to be a person who's what? On time. If you're consistently late, then I can trust that you will be what? Late. If you are consistently uncaring, unloving, just because you act loving right now in the moment does not mean I trust it. Why? Because you don't have any consistency behind you. You trust that which is consistent, not that what is happening in the moment. When you have a long history of inconsistency, up and down, up and down, up and down, you don't trust that. Consistency can be, I wrote here, can be for good or bad. I can trust to be on time or to be late. I can trust you to be caring or trust to be uncaring. I can trust you to be giving or to be selfish. I mean, think about it this way. Great companies. I've been to many, many Chick-fil-A restaurants because I travel a lot. Wear a lot of Chick-fil-A's. Guess what? Every Chick-fil-A restaurant, that chicken sandwich tastes the same. It's consistent. Because that's what makes Chick-fil-A sandwiches what they are. They're consistent, right? No matter where you get it, it's consistent. If you go to McDonald's in Indonesia, Florida, the Bahamas, that McDonald's hamburger, guess what? It tastes the same. You trust the consistent, even the things that you purchase, don't you? Because consistency allows people to realize that you are worthy of what? Trust. Trust. You have a favorite restaurant that you've liked for a long time, and all of a sudden, the food wasn't as good on a regular basis. You tend to not go back there. Why? Because you no longer trust that it was what it was, right? Because you have a different way of being in the restaurant. Trust increases and decreases with each interaction. This goes both ways, with a husband and a wife, a parent and a child, employer and employee, and church family interactions. Everything you do increases trust or decreases trust. But the more consistent I am, I'm constantly increasing what? Trust and girding myself that I'm a trustworthy person. If I'm up and down, what I am showing people is I can be trusted to not be trusted. I can trust that I can't trust you. Why? Because you're inconsistent. Or you can look at the other pillars up there. If people have to ask for your trust, listen to this. If people have to ask for you to trust them, that's a problem in itself. You let the Godfather go, trust me. No. You have to have the ability to earn and sustain trust. Asking for trust means nothing if you don't have the ability to earn it and sustain it. Does that make sense? By the way, can you love someone and not trust them? Can you love someone and not trust them? So that begs the question then, is there a difference between trust and love? Listen to this quote by Horsager in his book. I love this. He says, true love can be unconditional. Trust is not. True love can be unconditional. Trust is not, and neither should it be. I unconditionally love my baby boy, but I don't trust him yet. Trust must be earned. We all know someone who's a lot of fun. We might even have a close friend who's the life of every party. We may love him, but we do not trust him. We enjoy going to a movie with him, but we would never become his business partner or leave our children at his house. Trust is the highest value and greatest compliment, and it is reserved for those who earn it. Even where there is love, trust may be broken or weakened because trust is fragile. A woman can relearn to love someone who has deeply wronged her. However, that does not mean she automatically trusts that person again. The strength of trust, listen, the strength of trust depends on the consistency of intent and integrity. So then, as you look at those eight pillars that we kind of looked at throughout this week, clarity, compassion, character, competency. Competency, what's the requirement for competency? Who remembers? One word, humility. In humility, you're always teachable. Humility is required for competency, commitment, connection, contribution. Where do you give, or do you always just take? In consistency. If you think about your life, how are you doing in those eight pillars? Because a breakdown in those pillars, any one of them, it will be a breakdown in what? Trust. And think about this. Our Heavenly Father, our Savior, is perfectly all of those traits. He is those pillars. I've shown you that through the Word. He is every one of those. So if there's a part of you that struggles with trusting the Father, hopefully I've tried to convince you, you don't have to worry about trusting Him. He's trustworthy. You might have to worry about trusting me or someone else, but He is perfectly those eight pillars. He is worthy to be trusted. Listen to these words by James Garlow, who is a leadership guru. He says this, if you do not like who you have become, listen, if you do not like who you have become, it is because of the thousands of small, seemingly insignificant decisions that you have made each day over the course of your years. If you like what you have become and are becoming, it is because you have made several hundred thousand seemingly small moment-by-moment decisions in a very wise manner. He says here, because you are the sum total of your life's decisions. If you want a strong us, your choices every day will create it or not. If you want to be a person of trust, your daily choices will dictate such. And as I kind of wrap up here for my role this week, I hope in some way this has not been a week to beat you up. That is never my intent, those who know me. I know some people have felt beat up, but that wasn't for me, I hope. My hope is to inspire you, to inspire you to a better way of being, to inspire you to live your life as Christ wants you to live, which is John 10:10, a life more what? Abundant. An abundant life is not being saved, because I know saved people who are miserable. The abundant life is when you're living the fruits of the Spirit right here, right now, in this moment. That is the abundant life. I can hardly wait to get to heaven. Not me. I want to live it now. I want to live it now. Why would I want to wait for that? He died on the cross so I could have life like more what? Abundant. And so I hope in some small way I've inspired you to be that man, that woman, that mom, that dad, that coworker, that friend, or that church neighbor, boyfriend or girlfriend. If you have to get some things out of your life to do that, go do that. That's good self-care. A husband who loves his wife loves himself. Love your neighbor as you love your what? People who have self-respect and healthy self-love. Not prideful, arrogant one. They make decisions for their life because they want to be a better person to represent the Father better. But people who lack self-respect, they make choices that keep reinforcing their lack of what? Self-respect. It's not what Father wants for you. He came to give life, and life more what? Abundant. And I submit that when we become people of trust, not perfectly, but what? Maturely. That's the key word. When you learn to do that maturely, I promise you, you will live the life that Christ intended for you. And you will be able to invest in other people because they will be drawn to you. People will come to you saying, Don Marks, I don't know what it's about you, but I need you to invest in me. And Don Marks does. Rick Marks does. Other friends that I have do. Paul and Jerry regularly invest in broken marriages through their marriage mentoring at their church, and actually beyond their church because they help people outside of their church. Why? It's a value to them. They see that when, my daughter said it best, when you save a marriage, you save a generation. And she's absolutely right. This been helpful? So here's my way of closing. It's okay. Just for a few minutes. What will you take away from this weekend for you? Anyone? So that's a puzzle on my part. You can clear up the puzzle if you'd like. Yes, ma'am. You have a lot of work to do. Okay. Thank you for that vulnerability. Someone else, what will you take away for yourself? Yes, sir.
I'm planting trees today.
You're planting trees today. Amen, brother. I like that. I can always quit worrying about this and do something different today and make a new tomorrow, right? That's why I tell people I don't live in back there. I live in what's possible and then try to increase the probability of what's possible. Anyone else? What would be your takeaway? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, remember I said it this way yesterday. Every relationship has an us to it. Us has its highest order and meaning in the marital bond, though. Because that us is linked to the Trinity. The other one another verses, which are really about connections, love one another, encourage one another, all that's about connection. So people aren't walking life alone. That's our responsibility to humanity. Because we're living out Father's heart for people. But the highest order of us is the marital bond. But I've learned if I do that one really, really well, these other ones just flow naturally out of that. You know, the better I became a strong, healthy, mature husband, parenting was easy because it flowed out of that. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. If I can inspire you to go serve someone else, wow, you give away out of that abundance you have. Because there's people out there needing it, right? And we have it to give, to contribute to them. Beyond just money. You know? Anyone else? Yes, sir. I couldn't hear you. What's that? Or the sum total of all of that. Cool thing is we can start today and start planting a new tree, right? And go make new decisions. Step by step, moment by moment. Remember, it's not over till the fat lady sings. I don't know how fast she has to be to sing, but it's not over, which means you're not dead, right? So anything can change and transform until the day you're dead. So let's transform what we want, okay? One more, and then Chris is going to come up and close us out. Amen. Amen. Some people have asked about my marriage work. Now, as Chris is coming up, let me say this to you. I am working to take my whole marriage curriculum, get it on professionally on a video, and my brother and I are going to put a website together. where people can download it, learn it in their own home with the manuals, so that, because I'm not one of the guys, he says, oh, we need to train people in my work and certify them and control it. I'm like, no. Let's just get it out there to the masses and let people do what they want with it. And so, you know, pray for that, because our hope is to impact people at a much greater level. Why? You save a marriage, you save a generation. And we're about generational work. So thank you all so much for allowing me to just share Manuel's story and journey with you all. So blessings.